Before I begin my subject today, I want to recount part of a video sermon that I listened to a couple of days, and I related it to Sister Martha. The question being asked of the thief on the cross when he got up to wherever he went, paradise, heaven, the greeting angel or whoever it was asked him, said, "Well, how did you get to be here?" He said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, I'm looking over your resume here," and said, "You're, you know, a pretty bad thing. You're a thief. You know, you've never done anything particularly any good. So just how did you get here?" He said, "I really don't know. I have no idea." And he said, "Well, let me call my supervisory angel over." So, you know, the kind of funny sermon. And supervisory angel come over and ask him the question. He says, "I've looked over everything." He says, "I see that you've not done any mission trips." "No, not been to any, you know, prayer meetings and, you know, Bible studies, things like that." "No." He said, "Well, what qualifies you to possibly be here in this place?" He said, "The man in the middle of the cross said I could come."
Amen.
That brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was not an old Baptist preacher, by the way. That was, I don't know what he is. I know his name. I want to begin in the book of Mark, first chapter, first verse. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Jesus Christ is known in the Bible as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. And not too many people in the New Testament, the narratives, if we read through the Gospels, not too many references to him from men that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist did recognize him as the Son of God. Nathaniel recognized him as the Son of God. A few other instances, but the most of the ones in the Bible, most of the characters in the Bible that recognized him as the Son of God were the devils, the demons. And in fact, in this same book of Mark, I guess over in the third chapter, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." How do we see him? Both. We see him as the Son of God, because I believe that he has been revealed to us in the gospel as the Son of God. I had a little note in my Bible case back there. I didn't tear it out and bring it with me, but the Son of Man is mentioned in the New Testament 80-something times, you know, in the Gospels. Find it interesting that after his crucifixion, after his ascension, you don't find too much mention of him as a Son of Man anymore. Mostly in the Gospels. You can go back to the Old Testament. You'll find there that Ezekiel was referred to as a Son of Man. And it was always the Lord speaking to Ezekiel and telling him, "Son of Man, tell Israel of their iniquities and all the things that are going to come upon them, thou Son of Man." So Jesus Christ, when he was here, he was often referred to as the Son of Man. There's a reason. And I'm not going to be before you too long. I could go, you know, read scripture after scripture after scripture, but that's not the way I want to do this. Usually I find that when he is referred to as the Son of Man, he is ministering to Israel, either in helping them, you know, raising the dead, healing the sick as the Son of Man. And I'm going to go to one place, might go to another, but I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. It has already been quoted from. But I want to go to the, y'all bear with me. I've been doing this for close to 50 years, and I still get scared to death. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, his Son, in this reference, in this context, is the Son of God.
Yes.
So he has spoken unto us by the Son of God. Now, in another place, he says, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. The Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Rome, says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That I may have left out a couple of words there, but that's what the context is. In the second chapter of Hebrews, it says, thou madest him... let me back up just a little bit. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? What is man that you might visit him? Well, we know that man, the son of man, is full of iniquity. I believe Job mentioned that in Psalmist David. But he says, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, which is why he had to come as a son of man. Because he had to suffer death. As a son of God, he was incapable of dying. But as a son of man, he could die. And did. At his own choosing, at his own time, his own hour, whenever he chose to die, he died. We see Jesus for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, this is not every man universal. I'm not here to, put down any other denominations or anything like that. We understand election and predestination. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. As God, he couldn't suffer. As man, he could suffer.
That's right.
As a son of man, he could suffer.
Amen.
And did suffer. Now, I'm going, for time's sake, I'm going to skip down a little bit. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. As a son of man, he could feel our infirmities. As a son of man, he healed the infirmities of his people. They brought to him first one and then another that had this disease, that sickness, this blindness, whatever it might be. And he, as a son of man, ministered to them. Still by the power of God, but as a son of man. Now, as it pertains to his, in that role, I guess you might, I hate to call it a role, that means that maybe he's just playing a role when he wasn't. He in that, being the son of man, he not only could do those things to the, for those people, he could also judge them. Now, God is judge of all. We understand that. And God is a righteous judge. But now when we see the Son of Man being the judge, he is a righteous judge also. Because, you know, we judge after the flesh. You know, I forgot, somebody mentioned, or I was reading somewhere, my rememberer doesn't work as good as my forgetter, so I don't remember now just where I heard it. But, you know, we have a tendency to judge people on our own biases and our own perception of what things ought to be. My idea of what things ought to be might not be just exactly in line with what God says they ought to be. But when God makes a judgment, it's always right. And when God judges, when the verdict comes down on a sinful creature, it's always guilty. Now, this is what he found, what Jesus found with Israel, that they were always found guilty. All day long, I stretched out my hands to a gainsaying and disobedient people. Now, he was judging them because he is a righteous judge. He knows all things. And he, as the Son of Man, he could do that in coming as one of his own. He could judge them as the true king of Israel. Now, that's one thing about a king. He sat as a judge. As I was doing some studying on this, I thought about Solomon, how wise Solomon was as a king. You know, they brought the two women, they were ladies of the night, and they each had a child. One died during the night, so they got to fussing over whose baby it was, and they come before the king, and he makes this judgment. He says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll just take my sword and cut this baby in half. You can have one and you can have the other. You can have half of it and you can have the other half. The real mother says, no, give it to her. The other one says, yeah, go ahead and cut it in two. But Solomon, being a wise judge, he realized, which he understood, which one was the true mother. Now, Jesus made this statement. He says, a wiser than Solomon is here. So even the wisdom of Solomon paled in comparison to the wisdom of the Son of Man. Now, in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, I'm not going to try to turn back and read that, but, fourth chapter. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He was afterward and hungered. In other words, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The devil knew just exactly who he was. But he was wanting to tempt him to betray his God sonship and come down to his level and let his godness, if you will, allow me that expression, kind of be put aside, because he's, 40 days and 40 nights, I'd be starving. I'd be willing to make trees bread if I could, but you can make these stones bread. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And more, he says, if thou be the Son of God, do this, do that. We can't put the Son of God down on our level and expect him to respond the way the tempter did with Jesus. We've got people doing it all day long. You know, God, if you're up there, heal my mother. God, if you're doing this, if you're such a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? You could take care of this. Over in the book of James, it talks about judging our brother. It says, when you start judging, you're judging the law. And God is the lawgiver. So if you judge the law, you judge God. And that's I told this brother, I said, that's a pretty dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Bad spot to find yourself in. But to get to my point of this brief discourse, when the Son of Man was here, he dealt with his people with things that people have concerns about. He still does. I don't know how he does, but, you know, he did. He had compassion on the people, and he dealt with them as his people. Now, when it comes to the Son of God, he deals with things that are beyond our control, beyond anything we can do. Now, I know the Bible tells me, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That does not mean you can, you know, you just bring the devil on, just bring him up here and seek him on me, I'll take care of him. No, you don't want to get tangled up with the devil.
No.
There's one that did. That was the Son of God. And he still deals with those. You know, those demons that he cast out, there was one that the disciples couldn't cast out, so the people brought this person to Jesus and says, thy disciples couldn't do anything with this devil. Well, you know, can you do anything with it? So he did. He just commanded him to come out. And he told his disciples, this kind can only be dealt with fasting and prayer. I don't know why the disciples weren't able to, except they didn't have the power. Now, Jesus had the power then. He has the power now. And do I believe that there are demons in the world today? Yes, I do. I do. And I believe that the devil is alive and well and working hard in this United States of America and all over the world. And we can't handle the devil. We're not called on to handle the devil. The Lord is the only one that can handle the devil. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the 8th chapter of Romans, he named off some things. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's because he has overcome all those.
Right.
Now, the devil doesn't have any power over us. He tempts us. He entices us. But we can't take him on our own. We've got to plead the Son of God to intercede on our behalf. And he does. He intercedes with us for God against everything that comes against us. That includes things present, things to come. He intercedes with God for us in our shortcomings, in our sins, in all the things that we do, the things that we fail to do. But most of all, he intercedes with God for us against those powers that we can't control. Now, I can control my behavior. If you say you can't, then you come talk to me later on, and we'll talk about that. But there are some things we can't control, and the works of Satan and his power, we don't have the power within us. If we were confronted, and by the way, he doesn't look at like the pictures say. I don't think the devil's got horns and a forked tail and, you know, anything like that. He appears as an angel of light, and sometimes we can't discern that. What the brother's talking about, some of these publications of the works of Satan, the Lord has a way of dealing with him, and we need to leave that to him. But when you think about the Son of Man, compare him over with the Son of God and see how the two come together to make a complete, perfect Savior on our behalf. Pray for me when you have a mind to pray.
Amen.
Let's take
your
seat, verse 197. I hope it's filled up.